Hey guys, what is up? Welcome back to what is the final season of Flourishing with PTSD, a podcast designed to help normalize conversations around mental health, specifically in the context of PTSD, also known as post-traumatic stress disorder. If this is your first time tuning in for an episode, first of all, I would like to personally welcome you. I do advise that since this is the final season, that you go back to earlier episodes before listening in on these ones. If you are a regular listener or someone who occasionally pops in for an episode here or there, I welcome you as well. My name is Manda. I am the host. This is as good a time as any to let you know that I am not a medical professional in any capacity. I am not a doctor. I am not a therapist. I'm just a girl that has lived through trauma and is well on her way to healing and living her best life. So as always, I will put a general trigger warning on today's episode. So please take a moment and check in with yourself and see how you're doing before deciding whether or not to continue. You know, life is interesting. I think we can all agree on that. And you never know who's waiting to meet you right around the corner. And while I think many of us in this particular demographic might hate surprises and the idea of people waiting for us right around the corner, I've also come to learn and accept that sometimes those surprises and those people are good and pleasant and wonderful. And I know that these intros in this season are a little repetitive, but I didn't know who I was going to meet when I started releasing podcast episodes. I didn't know if I would meet anyone. And it just wouldn't feel right if I did not honor each guest who is taking the time out of their lives to come and talk with me, with us, about something that isn't easy to talk about. So Shay from We Are the Evidence, founder, a lot of things to her title, she's with us today for what I believe is her fifth appearance on the podcast. Shay, welcome back. How are you doing?
I'm a little emotional after all that. We were talking a little bit before, but it's just crazy to think how much time has gone by since we started and since I met you. And even reflecting back on all that's happened in my life and in your life. And yeah, so I'm feeling a little nostalgic, a little sad, but also really excited to be here with you today again. It's always such an honor.
I couldn't agree more with you. And yeah, you know, I've said it before and I'll say it again. When I started the podcast, I felt like I had no idea what I was doing. I was just releasing episodes when I had something to say. And one day I see a DM on Instagram from @WeAreTheEvidence. And you know, I wasn't sure what to expect, and only to find out that we both had stories to tell and that it would be so exciting for me to have a guest on the podcast for the very first time. And, you know, that hadn't even been a thought in my mind. And we did it, and I was so nervous. But, you know, Shay, you are so easy to talk to. Your voice is so soothing and so genuine, and you opened a door for me that I didn't even think to look for. And, you know, we've covered a lot of topics together. And the first episode that you were here for was called We Are the Evidence, published on September 22nd of 2019. And that is when the Flourishing with PTSD community and myself got to know you and hear a little bit about your story. And then on December 15th of that same year, you came back and we talked about secondary trauma. And then 7 months later, on July 16th of 2020, you came on for what I think is one of the most powerful episodes. It was called Let's Talk About Court. And the last time that you were here on November 9th of 2021, we talked about burnout. And I think all of that was just incredible. And I remember after we finished recording the burnout episode, I had this very specific memory where we talked for a little while after we were done recording. And when we hung up, I couldn't believe how refreshed I felt. We both came into that conversation with something to say, right? If we're talking about burnout, it was on our minds. And, you know, I think we were both at that point. But afterwards, I felt brand new and rejuvenated. And it feels like that after every conversation that I have with you. It just leaves me feeling that same way. So I want to circle back.
The same thing, though.
Yeah,
just the friendship that's been formed and being part of We Are the Evidence and like everything that's come with that. I've made some really cool networking connections. I've met so many amazing people, but like I get to consider you a friend and just how special and dear that is to me. Because the same thing, you just bring a feeling of groundedness to the conversation and to my life. And I'm really grateful to that and for you. So I'm grateful for Flourishing with PTSD podcast for that especially.
Oh, that means so much to me. Thank you. And you mean so much to me as well. And yeah, I'm honored that you said yes to coming back to talk with me during this final season and just helping to commemorate what this podcast has meant to me and hopefully the listeners. And I might get a little emotional in this one.
Me too.
Yeah. You know, I want to circle back to the conversation about court that we had, if that's okay with you. You know, there was so much to unpack in that episode, which makes sense because the court process is so tedious and long. We talked about the process of going through court and how that experience went for you. And I want to pick up where that leaves off and talk about life since then. So first of all, Shay, how do you continue moving through the world without justice of a guilty verdict?
That's a challenging question. I thought about it for a bit because the reality is like, I have no choice, right? Like that's the reality survivors go through all the time is that they might not find justice or they'll get justice, but not find peace with it. Or they'll never like they, we all go through that and we just have to get through it. For me, I've really tried to use that as motivation and something to give me the strength to have the discipline to continue working on We Are the Evidence, to continue working on the book, which I think I've been talking about since we started. And I think I'll have some exciting news about that coming up. But really, like, I use the idea that I wasn't heard or believed, or even if I was believed, it wasn't enough as fuel to keep moving forward in this project. And that's a big thing. I also, so many survivors aren't going to find justice, and it's helpful. It's been helpful for me to, I think with the book again, and with We Are the Evidence, to understand that pain and that frustration. And I really just try to turn it around and tell myself that not getting the guilty verdict has made me a better advocate or helped me to be a more understanding support person to others. Because I've been there. But yeah, it's just trying to reframe it for me while working on my healing and all of that so that I can keep doing what I'm doing with the platform.
Yeah. Man, I can just feel the weight of that disappointment. I mean, I didn't go through the court process. I can't imagine going through that added trauma of not only, you know, you have to experience the trauma itself, and then you have to go through the court process and essentially be judged by, you know, so many strangers and then to have to walk away from that and have to build yourself back up after being torn apart, you know, on a stand. I want to just take a second to hold space for your courage in deciding to move forward with that, despite the odds, and also celebrate what you've been able to do since then. I don't wish it upon anyone, and I wish you didn't have to make the choice of becoming an advocate and being a better advocate, but because you are, I mean, I'm grateful for you. And I know that your community is grateful for you. And, but I definitely would not wish it upon anyone to have to not only go through that experience of the trauma, but also not being believed about it, or at least, like you said, not being believed enough, which mm-hmm. just sounds ridiculous.
Yeah, space has helped a lot. The more space I get from court, I can really look at it closer. And the more space I get, the more I realize just how many flaws there are in the judicial system when it comes to this particular type of crime and in helping survivors of trauma. And I'm, again, just trying to hopefully I'll be able to use that space and those reflections to maybe make a difference in the long run for how things are done in the court system. Because really, that's what it comes down to. Like I said, even if I was believed, I probably wasn't believed enough. And how can we better let survivors of sexual violence feel that they've found justice, even if it's not in the court system? But like, what can we do to help facilitate that feeling that you've received justice, that you were heard? Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for holding space for me and for all survivors who have gone through that frustration.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an honor to do that. So you've gone through this traumatic experience. You're navigating PTSD. You're a survivor. You're going through all of these emotional roller coasters, and you decide to take up the torch of advocacy as well. Can you describe what it's like being a survivor of something that you're also doing advocacy work for? What's that like?
I will say that the survivor community is such a wonderful community to be an advocate for. They're very forgiving of my shortcomings of when I have to take time for me and not be as present of an advocate. And it's really humbling, to be honest, just how loving, forgiving, and understanding the survivor community has been for me, because it's hard. And I think you probably see that too. All of the attention in the news that sexual violence is getting is great. It's helping us like move forward. It's helping build momentum for change. But when you never get away from it. It's in the media. It's in the advocacy work you're doing. It's in your own healing and in your own triggers. And it can be exhausting. It can be really rewarding. I get messages sometimes from people who have been following the platform about successes they've had in their healing journey or in their court stories. And that is so rewarding, to the point where sometimes I don't know how to respond, because again, it's that humbling, but also I feel pride in the work I've been doing, but this really complicated mix of emotions about how wonderful that I've been able to make a difference, even if it's a small one, and how I can take this dark thing that happened in my life and try to help others find more light in their experience or in their light up the healing journey for them more clearly. So it's tiring. It's humbling. It's incredible. It's a roller coaster. But yeah. Again, I'm sure you go through all that as well. How's it been for you?
Oh my gosh. I totally agree with you. It's rewarding, and when you get messages like that, it's extremely validating when someone messages you and says, hey, like what you're doing is helping me, like, because that's what we set out to do, right? And it's kind of like just trying to help people and hoping that somewhere in the middle of helping other people, you are hopefully helping yourself. And I know that there was a time when I started this, you know, I was at kind of my rock bottom, and I didn't feel like I was worthy of receiving help. And so when I started getting these messages from people that said that they were finding value in my work and what I was doing, that was, like you said, humbling, but also uplifting in a way that I needed to be uplifted, to realize that through helping other people and people telling me that I was helping them, gave me enough momentum to see myself as worthy enough to receive help and get the help that I needed and continue on with that journey. And so I've accepted the rewards of that. And I, like you mentioned, something very key, which is, you know, people have been so forgiving and wonderful about, you know, when we have to take breaks and completely remove ourselves for a while. And I think advocates do, I mean, in my experience, at least, the advocates I have networked with, to include you, when one of us disappears, you know, we notice the absence and we send a message just saying, hey, haven't seen you in a while, been thinking about you, how are you? With the expectation underlying that, that says, you don't need to respond. All you have to do is know that I'm thinking about you. And that has been very special.
Yeah, special and just unheard of everywhere else. That understanding that I'm here for you, but you don't need to be like present. Just know I'm still here. My feel like my care for you, my support of you doesn't have the condition that you show up right now. Mm-hmm. It's still there. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Yeah. And I agree with you. I don't think I've experienced that anywhere else. I mean, I have a very strong and loyal friend group who is extremely supportive. So I guess I've experienced it there too, but I mean, it is unparalleled in the survivor networking community and also just among survivors in general. I think going through trauma and when you start to work on that healing, it really expands your empathy for other people and recognizing how people pursue their needs. That's a very special experience, I think, in the wake of such a horrible thing.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah. So how has taking on the role of being an advocate, on top of the fact that you have your own story, you're a survivor, how has all of that work impacted your own healing journey? Has that helped? Has it hindered? A little bit of both? What's that been like?
I'm sure you've asked this to other advocates, because I'd be really curious all the different responses. For me, I'd say being an advocate has put my healing journey on hold a little bit. I think it's helped in some ways, but my own processing takes a lot of denial. Like, I tend to push things onto the back burner. So for me, for a long time, I threw myself into the advocacy work. I threw myself into the projects I'm working on, and my healing journey definitely got put on the back burner. It's gotten a little bit better, and I've started to put more attention towards my healing, but as I'm sure people have noticed, my presence on my platforms diminished a little bit. I think it's helped, though, because now that I'm back in it, even though it took me a little longer to get back to healing and working on like therapy and being more present in my own journey, I have more tools, I think. I have more experiences to look back on, more conversations to give me some context as to what might help me, what might not. It's given me a lot more patience for myself, a lot more self-love. Mm-hmm. So even though it pushed it back a little bit, I think overall it has helped it. But what are your thoughts? What have you been hearing?
I would say that the other survivor advocates would say something very similar. I think I would agree with you in that, like, in my experience, it has both helped and hindered. I think there were definitely waves. Like I said in the beginning, I think it really helped when I got to hear people responding to the work I was doing. And that kind of helped me get my head above water, because I was definitely drowning a bit. Mm-hmm. So that helped me kind of get a breath of fresh air, enough to kind of start riding the wave. And then there'd be times where, especially when things were going on, you know, like in Hollywood and some other really high profile cases that were being highly publicized, and all of the controversy around it and the conversations that stemmed from those very highly public cases, that made it really difficult to try and be an advocate for people who needed advocacy and needed our support. I know that I had to really take a step back, because at that point I was like, I don't have the capacity or the skill set within myself to be able to compartmentalize the priority of my own healing through this and my coping through this, as well as being there to aid and give to others. And I think the biggest takeaway from being an advocate is learning that balancing act. I'm sure you'd probably agree as well.
Yeah, and remembering that you have to hold space for yourself. Yeah, it's a balancing act.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. You know, and if we can be certain of one thing, you know, it's that trauma usually is not a one-off. As much as we wish that was the case, there are things that will happen down the road. And I say that cautiously and gently, but, you know, my therapist and I always have the conversation of, you know, I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop, you know, over and over. Like we reference that because, you know, I fear that when things are going really well or seem to be really good, I get anxious because I'm thinking that because things are so good, something bad is going to happen, and it's going to happen like with a vengeance, and it's going to be big, and it's going to destroy me. You know, the fact that I'm happy is just, that just means that the bad thing is coming and the bad thing is going to be big. You know, like the better I feel, the farther I have to fall and feel terrible. Because that has happened, you know. And, you know, my therapist, she's always careful in telling me that the point of therapy, at least in our approach, is not to set up a belief system that all of life's traumas are now behind me, that because I'm in the healing phase, that means the traumas in life are behind me. That belief system would not set me up for success in any way, because no one can promise that, you know. And I can tell you that since I've started therapy, there's been a handful of traumas that have occurred since I started my healing journey. So if I was being told that trauma was never going to happen again and that I can control things enough to prevent trauma, that would have made everything so much worse, you know. So setting up a belief system that we're not trying to heal so that life can be happy-go-lucky and nothing bad is ever going to happen again. We're setting up a belief system that I'm going to heal from what has happened. And within that, I'm developing a toolkit or a skill set to be able to cope when things inevitably happen. And I say that all with the caveat that we shouldn't be sitting around and anticipating or worrying about what might happen. And I totally recognize that that is easier said than done, because I am one of those people who still sits around worrying about what's going to happen or what could happen or what if. But we can't do that to ourselves, because if we do, we'll miss out on so much. And I only recently got to a place where I can understand that concept. I couldn't comprehend that concept for years, but now I do. So I'm curious, Shay, for you, if in your journey since court and since becoming an advocate, how do you deal with the potential what ifs, or like what could happen in the future? Do you have certain tools or mantras or strategies that help you deal with all of that?
So I think what you said just a bit ago about how it took years to understand this concept, that's very true for me too. I remember going through dark places, and I don't think I wasn't available to understand some of the concepts or the mantras or the beliefs I have now for them to be helpful. And it's hard. I wish I had like tricks to help people get to that point quicker where you can hear and work on some of these things. But until you're ready, you really can't. So it's just like keeping your eyes moving forward, keep doing the work. But some things that really help me is trying to feel the feelings I'm having and recognizing that it's a feeling. Feelings aren't facts. What can I do with this feeling, or how can I address this feeling, or what is this feeling telling me? And trying to look at your feelings almost like an outsider and not act on them or not let them take control of you, which is very, very hard to do. I'm by no means an expert, but it helps. Why am I feeling anxious? What is this anxiety telling me? Where in my body do I feel it? What will make me feel just a little bit safer or better? really evaluating that feeling and trying not to run from it. So with that comes the idea of meditation. Even if you can do it for 30 seconds, a couple times a day, just trying to quiet your mind. I saw somewhere, if you're having mental health crisis, try to take care of your physical body. And when your physical body doesn't feel good, take care of your mind. And so when you're feeling your mind spiral, what can you do to take care of your body? How can you show love to your body? Move it, eat something, drink, get some sleep. Thinking about yourself, thinking about all those strengths you have, finding ways to love yourself, which is hard. And that comes with loving yourself even at your worst, and being kind to yourself even when you're at your worst, and knowing that you at your worst still deserves support and help and kindness. And these are all things that take a long time. There's some books too that I've read and belief systems I've kind of adopted, and it kind of ties into how I've been moving forward with court too. But choosing to take the trauma, choosing to take the negative outcome at court and move forward with that experience instead of trying to shut it out, incorporating it into who I am and like my mission moving forward. But the big things are, I think, seeing your feelings, don't let them take control of you, love yourself, and take time to spend with yourself, take yourself on dates, get to know yourself again. And knowing that you survived what you did and you can survive anything else moving forward. You're strong, you're capable, and you're not alone. You have an entire community that has your back. And educate yourself. Like, I believe very strongly in reading on mental health, reading on trauma. It helps validate what you're going through.
Yeah, I commend all of that. And I hope that people listening really take that to heart. And do you have specific book recommendations for people who are looking to read up on mental health? I know, like, The Body Keeps the Score is a great one. Mm-hmm. I say that through other people's recommendation. I have had that book for 3 years now, and I have not read it yet. But I have heard that it's really great.
That is a good one. I mean, hopefully, again, like, I guess promoting it a little bit, but the book I'm writing, I'm hoping can fill some of the gaps, because to be honest, I can't recommend too many books around sexual assault trauma in particular, because they're either workbooks or they're memoirs. But I'm hoping that the book that we're in the process of getting out there can be a good reference point. Otherwise, there's some good stuff just about, like, mindset that I could recommend, like the Zen and Art and Happiness. It's a very quick read. But I would look into, like, general mindset books as well, in addition to just trauma books.
Nice. Yeah, that's great. That's great. Yeah, and I know that also I like reading articles on psychologytoday.com. That's a go-to place for me when I'm curious about topics in general, and I find that they're very easy to understand, at least for me. So if you're looking for resources and maybe not books are not your thing, like, definitely try some of the articles on psychologytoday.com, and just, you can type in the search bar anything. I mean, I started by typing in, PTSD, post-traumatic stress, statistics with PTSD, sleep studies, coping with triggers, like, you can literally type in anything. If you want to learn about the brain and PTSD, you can type in anything like that. The hippocampus and the frontal lobe and all those things that are so wired in PTSD are great starting places for sure. And I'm very pumped for this book, Shay, like, you don't even know. And in the spirit of this podcast episode today, I'm also wearing my We Are the Evidence t-shirt, which I know you've seen me wear a couple of times.
Oh, I love that. Thank you.
Those pictures. It's, like, literally one of my favorite shirts. Do I have my own merch? No, but I'll sport yours any day of the week.
I love that. Thank you.
Of course. Oh my gosh. Yeah. If you have not gotten a shirt, hopefully that is still accessible, because it's the greatest thing ever. I love it. Anyways, but yeah, I could go on and on. So you know, as we talk about kind of developing a skill set or a toolbox, toolkit, sometimes when a trigger hits, it just hits hard and we can feel pretty low for a long time. And the hard part is that that means that everything in our lives is impacted. You know, the self, relationships of all kinds, our job, our advocacy, our healing. You know, I know that I've been in a, like the longest I've been in a low moment after being triggered. It literally probably lasted months. I mean, it was a long time. So Shay, what do you do when you experience a low moment that you need to pull yourself up out of? Like, how do you get out of those low moments?
I think for me, discipline helps a lot, which usually when I'm in those low moments, that's the last thing I want. The last thing I want is to follow a routine, do the things I need to do. And to an extent, this is actually something I'm working on in therapy because I have a hard time. I'm so afraid of hitting a low spot that I will overwork myself. I'll keep myself too busy so I can't hit a low spot because I don't have time for it. And the last one I had, that was the first thing to go, is like my routine, my structure. My therapist said, that's fine. She was like, whatever. But anyways, it's hard for me. I don't like feeling that low. I think anxiety and depression are both awful things to live with, but I've grown comfortable with anxiety and depression. And that one's hard for me still. Mm-hmm. Taking care of myself, listening to my body, letting myself do whatever it takes to make me feel a little bit of joy, even if it's going to be a little difficult to get out there. I had a therapist one time who said, every time I mention my horse's name, I smile. And so when I'm in a low moment, I try to go and give her a hug. Or if I don't feel up to getting to the barn, I'll look at a picture. Whatever it takes for me to feel just a little bit better. And then I try to sit with that feeling. I try to remind myself that it's not going to last forever. I try to communicate and reach out when I can, which again is hard. But really, I try to think about what's going to bring me a little bit of joy. Because when I'm in a low moment, that's one of the toughest parts, is that you lose that feeling of enjoyment really with anything.
Yeah.
Reach out. Don't be alone when you're in those moments, even if it's to a crisis line. I'm not afraid to say that when I don't feel like I can reach out to anyone else, I'll call a crisis line, and that helps.
Yeah, those are amazing resources. Absolutely. And I could totally, like, I was like silently cheering and like agreeing with you when you said, you know, you'll overwork yourself so that you don't have a chance to feel low. Like, let me just, this is, it's funny to me. My therapist didn't think so, but I think it's funny. And I totally thought of you too, because we had talked about this, I think, a little in the burnout episode. But I was laughing hysterically at myself because, like, a few months ago, maybe in June, my therapist was like, okay, so let's practice boundary setting, like, everywhere, because, like, you're just kind of all over the place right now. And I was like, no, I'm fine. Like, it's all good. I can do anything. It's fine. And she was like, that's exactly the mindset we're trying to avoid. I was like, oh no, like, I'm good. But if you want to, I guess we can. And she was like, oh my gosh. So she's like, okay, we're going to practice saying no, like, in the workplace to things that, like, we can say no to. And we're going to practice, you know, and then sure enough, like, after that, cause, you know, she's like, okay, we're going to practice really just, like, leaving some free time so that you can just be with yourself and just, like, have some rest time, like, do something you enjoy. And I was like, okay, yes, ma'am. Like, I love some homework. Like, let's get this. I go to work the next day and I literally sign up to help with, like, four or five things that are, like, big. And I was like, I'm not scared. I can handle this and I'll get rest and she'll be so proud. And I literally did not get rest time. I overworked myself almost to death. And I was just like, it's fine. And she was like, it's definitely not fine. And I was like, no, this is hilarious. Like, I'm doing great. And then I eventually came back to her and I was like, so I think we triggered something. The idea of not working definitely freaks me out. So I signed up for everything and now I'm internally dying. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was funny. I still think it's funny. Am I still trying to get myself out of those things that I signed up for that I've been working really hard on? Yes.
Oh my gosh.
But no.
That's how it goes, though. My therapist one time gave me homework, too. She's like, just exercise, move your body for 10 minutes a day. And she's like, but you're not allowed to wake up earlier to get it done. You have to cut something else out of your day. Oh. And it was funny because she just knew me. And I was going to do the homework, but I was going to fit it in. I wasn't going to take something out.
Wow. Respect.
They know us. They're onto us.
I know. They're learning our ways. We gotta do something. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. It's a little moment. So, like, you know, and I wish that for anyone out there. Like, I know that therapy is not accessible for everyone, which is another reason why I wanted to start this podcast, is to give as much as I can to people, both who can find access and who can't. You know, if and when the possibility presents itself where you can pursue therapy, I adore my therapist. And I love the fact that she knows when I'm in, like, I just, for lack of a better word, she knows when I'm bullshitting her, and she'll be like, let's try that again. And I'll be like, yeah, you're right. Like, that was total BS. Like, and like someone who has like known me, and like, I stuck with it for long enough so that she can call me on my stuff and like really work the parts of me that need work so that I can have a better quality of life. And, you know, and I also love sharing what I'm comfortable sharing about, like, my journey in therapy with my family that is able to listen to it, or to my friends, because then guess what? I have some other people who are willing to check in and keep me accountable, because otherwise I'm just not the person that will keep myself accountable. So, I have so enjoyed inviting people along the healing journey, from a therapist to my mom, to my dad. And they all come with different levels of understanding. But I'm so thankful and grateful to say that everyone that I've decided to share my journey with, they've walked with me, and they've recognized what supporting me looks like and requires. And I'm so thankful, and I wish that for everybody. I mean, your support system is everything. So find one if you don't have one, please, please, please. So, yeah. On that note, you talked about like moving your body, listening to your body. If the physical self is not feeling great, maybe look at the mental side and tend to the mental side, and vice versa. Do you have any other specific examples that you do to take care of yourself when you're in need of self-care?
Some like quirky ones that I think are related just to me, but just to normalize them, is I like to play PC games, and I'm horrible at them. It's complete garbage, but it brings me a level of like calm. And so that helps. Reading a good book that you can just get lost in and get away from this reality and this world, that's a huge one for me, and always has been. I love to pick up a book and see where I can go with it. Being barefoot outside is one I always recommend, even if it's just for a little bit. But there's, I think, research coming out now about how good that is for like radicals in your body or something. So that's one I would definitely recommend.
Oh, be connected with the earth. I love it. I'm here for it. Nature is everything. Go outside, put your phone down, please. And that's, oh my gosh, can I just share with you? So I am one of the people who have succumbed to an obsession with TikTok. I'm all over it. I love it. However, I saw this TikTok the other day that said, and I actually posted this on my Instagram because I thought it was so powerful and so true. You know, someone said our brains and like our minds, like we are not designed for an app like TikTok in terms of consuming information and videos like that, because one video can make you, and this can extend to all social media, really, I think. But you are not designed to watch a video for 30 seconds to 2 minutes that is going to make you laugh hysterically and bring you comedic joy and everything like that. And then for the next video to bring you to tears because someone is sharing a journey about death, and or like a journey about healing, or maybe like something like what we're doing and something much more serious. And then to scroll to another video that, you know, is self-help and like all these things that are really great entities individually, but to be going on this like emotional roller coaster so quickly, like we are not designed to take in information like that. And, you know, like we are going through life so fast. And when you scroll through those videos, you're going through them so fast. And it's like, slow down, slow down, please. Like, give your brain a break. And I didn't realize that until I saw that video. And I started to think about it. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's really not good. And I noticed that within myself, you know. And so I've started to take a break from TikTok. I haven't been watching it as much. Just edit. And, like, seriously, like, the calm that I experience when I'm like, you know, life can slow down a little bit. I don't have to do everything so quickly. It just, it was amazing, the refreshed perspective. I don't know, Shay, if you've ever experienced anything like that, but I was like, whoa.
Yeah, I like to be very intentional. I try to a couple times a year go somewhere where I completely disconnect from my phone and technology. So I'll go camping, like in the Boundary Waters, and try to do things where I'm not going to have access to my phone for at least 48 hours. And it's amazing how you feel, and it's amazing how it feels to come back to it. Like, you feel the stress and anxiety instantly.
Which there's a sign right there. Like, let's continue to take breaks from that. Yeah. Yeah. So I hear that, you know, and as I get ready to sign off from this podcast, you know, with this final season, my goal is, you know, like, my goal this whole time has been to give people a sense of like progress is possible, you know, like flourishing with PTSD, you know, like you can keep going, like you can continue to heal and work on things, and it won't be like this forever. And I want to leave people on a relatively optimistic note. And, you know, my goal for this final season is wholeheartedly to give people hope. I want to give them hope, and I want to give them a light at the end of the tunnel so that they can keep going. So someone listening right now might be lost in one of those low moments that you and I have both experienced. What would you say to that person who's experiencing a low moment right now?
I think that we're all trying to figure out how to navigate that still, and we're all experiencing our own unique traumas and our own experiences going into those traumas and coming out of those traumas. But remembering that's not about moving on from the trauma, it's about moving forward with that trauma and doing the work, doing the healing, giving yourself the care and the love you have. Like, when you ask that question, I like to think, what would I want to say to myself when I was in that low spot? And it would be that you didn't deserve what happened to you. You don't deserve the pain and suffering that's going to come from healing and potentially the secondary traumas that come from when you're in that low spot. You deserve good things, and good things are going to come your way. Just stick with it. Keep doing the work. Don't give up on yourself, and find some community. It might take a long time, longer than you think. You'll have high moments, then low moments. And those moments might be very brief at first. You might feel happy or joy or excitement again for a short amount of time, but that short amount of time will get longer and it'll get longer and it'll get longer. And really consider giving back to the community. I think it's helpful for a lot of people, especially at first. And like we both said, it might delay your own healing for a little bit, but I think that we find purpose in it. And you can find some purpose in the, like, your own trauma. And eventually you'll get to a place where you can do more of the deep digging into your own healing.
Agreed.
Yeah.
And Shay, I got to tell you, this is where I'm going to choke up a little bit, I think. We did that episode of Let's Talk About Court, and you so bravely talked about your experience, and I was so moved by everything that you shared. And I know a lot of people listening were too. And I've gotten a lot of DMs from people who said that, you know, they were gonna go to court. And there was this one particular individual who messaged me around the time that we released that episode, and they listened to it. And this person said that listening to the podcast gave them hope and gave them the courage to report and go to court. And gosh, that was a while ago now. And a year ago, or not a year ago, a couple of months ago, that same individual messaged me and said that the podcast had been a support to them through their court process. And they won the case and got the verdict that they wanted, that they needed. And that is the only person that has messaged me to say that they won. You should have seen the look on my face. Like I was stopped in my tracks. I was at home when I read that message, and I think I was on my way to the kitchen, and I just stopped, and I was just like, oh my gosh. And I immediately burst into tears. And there are no words for something like that. And that was a huge, special moment that I don't think I'll ever forget, because that's something that you and I were able to give that person. And we helped support them without even knowing them. And they got through that. They not only got through it, but they got the verdict that they needed for justice. And that person is now, that perpetrator is behind bars. And that was, I just wanted to let you know that, like, someone had listened to that episode and had the desired effect of what we were going for.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. Wow. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Wow.
Also, to the listeners, I did not tell Shay that before, so she's legit hearing this in real time. Yeah. I thought you deserved to hear that and know that.
Yeah, thank you. If I could go back and say something to myself at a low place after my own court date, I want them to hear that exact story. Like, I thank you for sharing.
Yeah, absolutely. And to that person and to anyone else who is going through the court system, that process, Shay and I extend our deepest sympathy and empathy to you. And we offer you our support through this podcast and through our individual platforms. And we celebrate with you in your victories, and we grieve with you when we lose. And our platforms are here to provide that support and that community for you when you need it. And we are honored when we get messages from you. So thank you all for listening and for letting us know that you're listening. And Shay, thank you so much for coming back and talking with me one more time on the Flourishing with PTSD podcast. I'm so grateful for you, and I'm excited to see where our friendship goes beyond the podcast. And do you have any updates on projects that we should know about? And can you remind people where they can find you and keep up with you and the resources and information that you're posting?
absolutely. Instagram, we are the evidence. Our website is weareevidence.com. There's no the, I know it's confusing. And then as far as projects, the book that I've been talking about forever, we've been making some huge progress on it, and I don't want to jinx anything, so I'm not going to say the big exciting news, but I can say here in the near future, I think that we'll have something very exciting to share. And that I think it's all going to come to fruition very soon. So, and then I just want to thank you for your podcast, all the work you've been doing. I don't think it's going to hit me that you're done until it's really done, but you're changing lives and you're going to continue changing lives. And I'm really excited to see what direction life takes you and where your advocacy goes and where your healing journey goes and where just you as a beautiful human being, that you're such a light in the world, and see where you go. And thank you for everything you've done for the entire community, and know that the community loves you. And I would never want anyone to be in this community, but I can say that having you in my life and being part of the community has made me a better person. And yeah, just know that there's lots of love for you. Thanks for having me on.
Oh my gosh. Thank you for saying all of that. I don't think it has fully hit me yet, but you know, I guys were talking and I'm saying, oh, you know, like the final season, like it is starting to hit. I think slowly. Thank you for your kind words, and thank you for your advocacy and for being my friend. And thank you, all of the listeners who are listening to the podcast. I hope that it continues to be what I have wanted it to be from the beginning, which is a source of comfort in knowing that you're not alone in what you're going through, and that healing is possible, and that it won't be like this forever. And I hope that it continues to be a source of education around these topics, and that this podcast has accomplished my goal, which is ending the stigma around mental health struggles, one conversation at a time.